Shall we start the show?
Come on, man.
All right. All right. Get off my back, Joe. And here we go. Good morning, everyone. Welcome into Morning Invest on this Monday, October 12th. So good to see you guys. I hope you had a wonderful weekend. I'm Clayton Morris. It's the only morning business show for real people. The 99%, not the Wall Street types. Grover, my trusty sidekick, is out here barking at a cat or another dog or something like that. So he's getting into his like little witching hour where he's going to start barking like crazy. He is 8 months. He just turned 8 months. Can you believe that? Many of you have been watching the show since we first got him, since he was a little puppy. So now he just had his eight-month little guy. He's growing so big, getting so big. We were watching. Isn't this funny? This is what parents do, even if you got little furry puppy friends, little furry children in your house and not kids, human babies. So we were watching little videos of when we first brought him home, and the kids were shocked. It's like this little tiny little nugget. Anyway, enough about dogs. We've got stimulus to talk about today on the show. I'm going to see if, like, I should have a quiz by the end of today's show to see if you can follow this craziness. I mean, more drama, more back and forth. You have reporters who are just frankly exasperated. Like a lot of the reporters that I trust on this issue, they're just like, we don't even know. I mean, come on. So, you know, I have dinner on Saturday night. I'm getting ready for bed. I see more news on the stimulus. I'm waking up on, I'm like, more stimulus news, back and forth, back and forth. So we're going to get to all of that on the show today. We'll tell you the very latest and where things stand. We're also going to look at Canada this morning. And the United States better pay attention to what Canada has done. I think this is one of the most fascinating stories that I've heard in a long time. We're going to look at how, now you remember Canada, how they handled the coronavirus pandemic, right? And how they were able to provide upwards of $2,000 per person to get through this thing per month in stimulus. Well, this goes beyond that. I'm going to tell you what they've studied, what they found out, and why America should be paying attention to this. We're also going to talk about more corrupt politicians this morning. You know, if you think that politicians maybe aren't corrupt or that it might not necessarily affect you directly, I'm going to show you a story and exactly how this corruption unfolded. We've been following this story here on the show. We've got an update for you. So we'll look at that. Also, North Korea, Kim Jong-un wiping away some tears over his handling of coronavirus. That's right. All of that and more on the show today. I want to tell you about our show sponsor today, our good friends over at Outlet. If you would like to get 6% interest savings account, so you've got $100, instead of putting it in one of those crappy bank savings accounts, you know, like Wells Fargo or Chase or Bank of America, where you're going to get a 0.001%, which is basically like a negative interest rate. Why not get 6% interest by putting your money into cryptocurrency-backed savings account? That's the way that Outlet works. But the way to do it, they actually deposit free money into your account only if you use our link. So you'll get some extra free money just for opening an account. It's a savings account. You can deposit money anytime. You can withdraw your money anytime. It's protected by insurance. All you need to do is go to morninginvest.com right there on your screen /outlet to sign up and try it out. Really great account. I've gotten rid of my other savings account. This is the only one that I use right now. It's Grover approved savings. So you know that your money is actually making money rather than losing money in a normal savings account. All right. So let's talk about it now. You might have heard, by the way, in talking about, you know, stimulus this morning, you might have heard that there's some hearings starting today in Washington. Yeah, there are, for Trump's choice for the Supreme Court to fulfill the vacancy left by the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So Amy Coney Barrett is to start her hearing this morning. It's going to step into the most important day of her judicial career, when she is, I don't know if she'll be grilled. I don't know. She's already gone through this. She was selected for a federal courtship, so she's already been grilled. I don't know. And she was very gracious to them. They were gracious to her. This should not be that difficult. Democrats basically just fell over dead in this scenario. So that's unfolding right now. That is where all of the oxygen in Washington is focused, is on the Supreme Court. All of the major news networks are going to have live coverage all day, all around the Supreme Court. All of that is going to be focused on Amy Coney Barrett. So where does that leave a stimulus? Well, if you're If you're keeping track at home, you think, well, this is dead, right? Well, not so fast. Because there's new life this morning from the White House. You know, if you've been watching the White House over the past week, 2 weeks, you've seen them cancel stimulus, end talks, then come back and try to get smaller pieces through, and then say, screw the smaller pieces, let's go big. Remember that the other day? And then not even just go big. Now President Trump says, let's go bigger than Democrats. That means larger than the $2.2 trillion price tag that Nancy Pelosi has floated and come down off of. Now, you remember back in the summer, in July, President Trump said, we're going to go bigger and better than anything the Democrats want. He said people were impressed back in March. Ooh, baby. They're going to be super impressed. Now, when we show them bigger and better, well, that never materialized. Now, maybe, suddenly, it is? Down 17 points in the polls? What kind of cat and mouse game are we playing here? I mean, if you're trying to keep track at home and trying to pay attention to what this White House is doing, I mean, good luck. Mitch McConnell has even said he hasn't been to the White House in 2 months because he thinks they're disorganized. Mitch McConnell. I haven't been to the White House in 2 months. I don't think they know how to handle COVID. I'm not going there. What to talk about a microcosm, right? Even the White House itself can't handle COVID. How are they going to handle it for the rest of us? So anyway, Friday, President Trump comes out on the Rush Limbaugh show and talks about a bigger stimulus. And now we have White House advisors calling for likely a larger than $2.2 trillion stimulus. Let's listen to Larry Kudlow and respond directly to this question from an exasperated Jake Tapper. I mean, I think Jake Tapper's hair is just starting to like come out all around now. He's just like tired of asking the same questions and getting 80 different answers. Watch Jake Tapper ask this question.
Let's talk about President Trump and the stimulus package, okay? Because President Trump, frankly, has been all over the map on his position. He halted talks completely. But then I want you to take a listen to what the president said on Friday about the size of this stimulus bill.
I would like to see a bigger stimulus package, frankly, than either the Democrats or the Republicans are offering.
So that's the president saying he wants a bigger package. Speaker Pelosi is currently offering a $2.2 trillion deal. The president wants a bigger package than that. So are you Secretary Mnuchin now going to try to offer a bigger deal than a $2.2 trillion proposal?
He may. Secretary Mnuchin is up to $1.8 trillion. So the bid and the offer is narrowing somewhat between the two sides. President Trump actually has always said, I mean, I've heard him say it in the Oval, as far as the key elements are concerned, the checks, the unemployment assistance, the small business assistance, we've got to help airlines out, he would go further. He's always said that. He knows that we need as much power for economic recovery as possible. It's not just recovery in 3 weeks. It's recovery to the end of the year and beyond in a possible second term. So I think Secretary Mnuchin, who's a very good negotiator, will be carrying the president's message.
So what the hell is it? I mean, literally, your White House spokesperson, Alyssa Farah, said this just like 24 hours earlier. Said that the administration wanted to keep spending below $2 trillion, but was eager to enact a fresh round of direct payments to individuals as well as aid for small businesses and airlines. So do they know what they're talking about? Do they have any freaking clue what they're talking about at this point? See, the problem is that President Trump has been listening to people like Kudlow for a while now, who doesn't want stimulus. You know, he answers to Jake Tapper questions. He's like, maybe. I'm doing fine. You know, my Wall Street buddies are doing fine. That's why I'm here in the first place. I got this job because of Wall Street friends, you know. Jake, maybe. I don't know. Maybe. And Stephen Moore, White House economic advisor, he also is in the no stimulus camp. Stephen Moore doubts the need for any kind of economic stimulus. He says we don't really need it. Yeah, let me just give you a little more of this. This is amazing. He basically said the economy is really showing signs of picking up. I don't care what newspapers say, he says. I really see strong numbers coming in for the third quarter, 30% to 35% growth, which shatters the all-time record for growth of this quarter. He said, at this point, I'm not sure we need a $2 trillion stimulus bill, he added. I think the fourth quarter will be just as strong as the third quarter. Again, they're looking at Wall Street. They don't give a rat's behind about you and the 55 million Americans right now who are struggling, absolutely struggling, over 30 million unemployed. We don't need another stimulus. He, along with Larry Kudlow, have basically been pushing President Trump to not do a stimulus. Now we're going to see more than a $2.2 trillion stimulus. Don't hold your breath. Now, you know, the interesting thing is the White House came up on their price to $1.9 trillion. But we learned from Republicans and Democrats that they're not budging. Republicans. So Mitch McConnell, like I've said before, is the main sticking point to all of this. Make no mistake about it. So Mitch McConnell, over the weekend, basically said, I don't see a way that we're going to come together on this. There's a vast chasm in between us. And we've got court judges, we've got a Supreme Court to worry about. He doesn't see anything passing before Election Day. That's Mitch McConnell. He said on a private conference call this weekend with Steven Mnuchin and Mark Meadows at the White House that they had lawmakers on there. There was a bunch of Republican senators on the conference call who all said, we don't want to spend that money. Did I not tell you? Mitch McConnell does not have the votes. Republicans do not want to pass stimulus. But that hasn't stopped people from saying, hey, Nancy, just accept the deal. Accept this $1.8 trillion deal. Yes, it does not have stuff in there for COVID, for testing and tracing, which is kind of mind-blowing, right? When we're talking about a pandemic, and that should be a major focus so we can actually get testing done on people, rapid testing, tracing, so we know where people are going. This has worked tremendously in other countries. It worked in China, actually. It worked in New Zealand. Did you see they had a big, I think it was a big rugby game this weekend in New Zealand. It was Australia-New Zealand game. And they had tens of thousands of people in the audience because there's no COVID. None. It's all gone. They got rid of it. None on the whole island. So that's back to life as normal there. There are tens of thousands of people going to a football game. And our football games look like cardboard cutouts. So here's Andrew Yang yesterday. Andrew Yang, former Democratic presidential candidate, who was calling for universal basic income. He's really been a voice of the progressive side in this. I've been wanting to get him here on the show. His team has been saying he's been super busy. I'm like, come on, Andrew, get on the show. I want to talk to you about these things. Nevertheless, he sat down with Wolf Blitzer yesterday. Wolf Blitzer. I spend time talking to these dinosaurs on CNN. Or do you want to come here? Talking to tens of thousands of people who don't watch CNN, who don't watch those old dinosaur mainstream media networks. Come on, Andrew. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Exactly, Andrew. So here is Andrew Yang answering this question, and he is actually calling on Nancy Pelosi to accept this offer. What do you think about this? Listen.
Us, there is such enormous need out there right now. Why has it been so difficult for the players here in Washington to get their act together to help these Americans in need?
In one word, politics, Wolf, but I agree with you in being beyond disappointed. It's infuriating that it's October and so many Americans are still waiting on a relief bill that should have been passed months ago. If I'm Nancy Pelosi, I take this deal. If I'm Mitch McConnell, I take this deal. This is great for the American people. They were suggesting another $1,200 in direct cash a relief to millions of Americans, $400 a week in weekly federal unemployment benefits. This would be a lifeline for millions of Americans, and I have no idea why this is not being passed. Instead, they're grandstanding and playing politics while people are hurting.
Andrew, you don't know why this isn't going to be passed? Well, first of all, Nancy Pelosi's out to lunch also, and would much rather have President Trump look like a total fool going into the election cycle, going into election day, than to give him a gift of being able to send out checks. She's already said this publicly. I mean, she's out to lunch as it is.
Your quiver, you're not ruling anything out.
Good morning. Sunday morning.
Sorry. She's the House Speaker, for crying out loud. She doesn't even know she's on TV. So she doesn't want, she's been fielding phone calls from her angry Democrats in the House saying we need to put something forward. So they have. They put another addendum to that HEROES Act, $1.8 trillion. Okay. Now the White House is coming in with a $2.2. He's coming in at $1.9 trillion direct stimulus checks, but she doesn't want to do it. If it's going to be piecemeal, and if it's going to put the president's signature on these stimulus checks without any contact tracing, etc. So politically, she has nothing to lose here. Because the president is likely going to lose in a landslide. Now, of course, I have my theories about President Trump. I think that he's intentionally trying to lose this election. Or he's just really not trying. And he's trying to burn the place down as he leaves. You should watch my video that I did the other day about. It's a full video, and I've had so many of you respond to it saying, yes, this is exactly what I've been thinking for years. I haven't been able to say it. Thank you for saying it. I'm going to put a link to that in the description below. We'll also put a little YouTube card up here so you can click on that and watch that later. Why I think President Trump is trying to intentionally lose this election. There's a lot of data, and this comes from some interesting sources. So he doesn't, at this point, I don't know what his game plan is. He just doesn't want to screw himself up for his next chapter. Trump TV or whatever that's going to be. His own television network. So if he can come out here at the end and just say, and take Mitch McConnell down with him and say, I want a massive stimulus, but Mitch McConnell is getting in my way. Republicans are blocking my efforts now to get a stimulus through. He would do that. I would see him doing that. He would take Mitch McConnell down with him. But Nancy Pelosi is sitting in the catbird seat right now. She holds all the cards. And like one of you mentioned in our show last week, you said, you know, why would she budge at all? Why wouldn't she just hold firm and not move at all and just wait till they come up and give her what she wants? And that appears to be what she's doing. You know, do you think it's okay that we wouldn't have tracing, testing, and development or a distribution of the virus as part of the stimulus package? If you do, that's one big sticking point, and also the price tag. I tend to agree with Andrew Yang on this. Pass it. Pass it. What do you think? Get something through. But the thing is, where Andrew is wrong on this is this idea that she has the power to pass this. So if she goes back to her Democratic constituents or her Democratic colleagues and says, you know what, we are going to go with the president's plan, $1.9 trillion, $1.8 trillion, and it passes the House, it's not going anywhere in the Senate. We've already heard from Mitch McConnell tell us. So it really is all on Mitch at this point. So even if Nancy Pelosi does agree to it, it's not going anywhere. But I still don't know how President Trump has shown such a lack of leadership on this point. He's had all summer to strong arm Republicans, to use the bully pulpit, which is the power of the podium, the power of the microphone. You know, grab that microphone by its, you know what, and get out there and say, I'm the president of the United States. We are hurting right now. And I'm calling on my Republican colleagues in the Senate. Mitch McConnell, are you listening? We need to pass a new stimulus. Ted Cruz, are you listening? I know you don't want to spend this money, and neither do we, but guess what? We have to. Our Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell has given us cover. He's told us that we don't need to worry about the debt right now. That's from the Fed chief. Let's do it now. Nancy Pelosi's already sent over a bill. Let's get it done. That would be presidential leadership, but it's not happening. So he's had all summer to do this. So that is the very latest on the stimulus. Smash that like button, subscribe to the channel if you are new here. Will we see a larger than $2.2 trillion stimulus package in the next 24 hours? stranger things have happened. Let me know if she should just accept this plan as it is and go forward with it, or stick to her guns and hold out for testing, tracing, and vaccine distribution. Any good comments here, Philip, we can take here in the chat? Grover, what are you eating? Kids leave these paintbrushes around on the floor, and then they come home from school and they wonder why they're destroyed.
Because of you.
Because of you, buddy. We've got more to get to here on the show today. Anthony Clark says, nope, not in the next 24 hours. Hell no. Oh, we got some. Here we are. Evelyn Monroe says, would you please explain to me why the Supreme Court nominee is important? I do not understand why. Well, three co-equal branches of government, Evelyn. The legislative branch, which is Congress. The executive branch, which is the President of the United States. And the judicial branch. Three branches of government. The judicial branch, of course, gets to, as a stamp of approval, basically, on the laws written by the legislative branch. So if Congress puts together a bill that says, we don't need to worry about campaign finance reform anymore, right? Like that happened a few years ago. Like, we don't need to worry about all these super PACs and all this stuff out there and all this crazy money pouring into these elections anymore. We're going to roll that back. And the Supreme Court puts their stamp of approval on it after hearing different testimony and cases brought before it. Now our elections look like they do. Totally corrupt, with billions of dollars pouring in from unknown super PACs and all this kind of garbage. Roe versus Wade. Would there be an overturning of this landmark law that gives a woman a right to choose? So nine justices on the Supreme Court. There are eight right now. Amy Coney Barrett would be number nine if she is approved, confirmed, and placed on the bench. There's a number of big laws right now that are being negotiated, big cases before the Supreme Court being discussed right now, including, of course, the Affordable Care Act. President Trump wants to roll back big pieces of the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. If a conservative justice is put on that Supreme Court, there's chance, likelihood, that pieces of pre-existing conditions, other pieces of the Affordable Care Act could be repealed, removed during a pandemic where 20 million people don't have health insurance. So the Supreme Court, I mean, obviously the federal judges across the country are perhaps far more important than the Supreme Court because they hear way more cases than the Supreme Court. But nevertheless, it's the supreme law of the land. And it's looking more and more like it's going to be a conservative court for years to come. And because Amy Coney Barrett is very young, she'll be on there for generations. I mean, she's like 47 years old or something like that, 49 years old. So she, you know, it's a lifetime appointment. So that's why the Supreme Court is very, very important. Just the facts. Thank you for your question. The stimulus is done. Anyone who believes what Trump says doesn't know politics. Nothing over a trillion will get passed by the Senate. I think you're right. Just the facts. I mean, I would be stunned if anything that large gets through Mitch McConnell's Senate. So Nancy Pelosi can talk all she wants about 1.8, 1.9, 2.1, 2.2 trillion. Mitch McConnell and Republicans in the Senate don't want to spend anywhere near that amount. So good point there. Bex says, they have no idea about what's going on since May. They have been saying the economy is fine. They don't care about us. They just want to win the election. I don't believe anything they say. You and me both. Oh, I believe what they say. I watch what they do, not what they say. So I see what they're doing. It's when you listen to these platitudes that they throw out there, right? They're just paying lip service to suffering Americans. But what they're really doing is lining their pockets. What they're really doing is lining the pockets of big donors that pour millions of dollars into their campaigns. That's what they're really doing. That's all they care about. Derek Eads says, Clayton, does Trump have the authority to, or executive orders to pass a stimulus package payment? No, he doesn't. No. That would have to be approved by Congress. There's $300 billion that's still sitting there that could be reallocated, which is part of these discussions right now. Like, how could they reapportion that money? It still would have to be approved by the Senate. The president does not have the power to send out money to the American people through an executive action. He can't do it. All right, let's move on. We got more news to talk to today. More news to talk about today, not to talk to. Sometimes I like to talk to the news and ask it how it's doing. Have you seen what's going on in Canada? You should really pay attention. I hope the American politicians will pay attention, but they won't. Until we can get some third-party candidates in here that can shake things up and really make a change. So Canada has been studying the effects of basic income. Yeah, a universal basic income in Canada. And the results are, quote, surprising and encouraging, according to Canadian authorities. Especially if you have a government that's actually willing to learn and pay attention to those results. And see, you know, actually listen to the results of a test instead of ignore it and sweep it under the rug, which is what our government does. Listen to this. For 1 year, 50 homeless people were paid $7,500 per month. No strings attached. Here's $7,500 per month. No strings attached. Other than agreeing to be studied. That's it. They just had to agree to be studied. Rather than buy food, drugs, or booze, most of them spent the bulk of their money on food, rent, medicine, clothes, and they saved it. Do you hear that again? Because, you know, the old thing is, oh, they're just going to spend it on drugs and alcohol. Right? And cigarettes. That's what they're going to spend. If you give money to a homeless person, that's what they're going to spend it on. But instead, what they found is most of them spent the bulk of their money on food, rent, medicine, clothes, and savings. And by the end of the year, the average participant was able to save $1,000 and reported a 39% reduction in alcohol use, 39% reduction in tobacco use, and a almost total reduction in drug purchases. So the numbers here are pretty fascinating. So the researchers interpreted a couple of ways. This data has meant that the homeless people are not losers, basically. That just if given the opportunity, they could get back on their feet. They are simply people who are down on the luck and who can pull themselves up with the right, with a little bit of help. They also calculate that paying them $7,500 per month saves the government $8,100 per month. Did you hear that? Giving them $7,500 actually saves the government $8,100 per month, per person, in costs of shelters, food banks, and other assistance programs. This amounts to $405,000 in savings among the 50 participants who took part in this. The study should, I think, honestly be read by Republicans. I think it should be read by Democrats, too, who, you know, are averse to giving people any kind of stimulus payment or any sort of universal basic income. So when people want to say that universal basic income would create laziness, keep them home doing nothing, sucking money out off of the system, they're wrong. There's been enough other studies that show that they're wrong. Now let's talk about what Canada's been doing during this pandemic. Canada has been providing $2,000 per month in stimulus benefits to the Canadian people who need it. They also, of course, have healthcare already in place. Testing and tracing. And people describe coming across the border from Canada into the United States as going from one country that takes coronavirus seriously to another country that doesn't. This country has been doing it right. I think it's an amazing opportunity for us to look at this and say, hey, perhaps we could in the United States provide some baseline level of support for the American people who need it. A universal basic income for a year to 2 years to get people back on their feet. We'd save a lot of money. We'd save a lot of money in the cost that we have to provide people in shelters, food banks, medicines and other things, healthcare services, because they're sick and living on the street. or being in close proximity to someone else at a homeless shelter where they're sleeping right on top of each other, basically. This, as CJP in my chat says, the U.S. government is fueled by money and greed, and it will never change. We need to make a change. We can make a change. And as by example, I'm going to show you in a story out of Alaska in just a few minutes how this kind of change can happen. And this is the kind of thing, this is what gets me out of bed in the morning. This is the kind of thing that gets me excited about our, you know, about our government and about our people and what we can do to try to enact change. My wife and I have been discussing something. I'm not going to tell you the project, what we're thinking about, but we've been, she does not less than me, but equal amount, I would say, so furious at like single use plastics that just wind up in the beaches, in animals, killing whales, sea life, that can't be broken down. It washes up the massive plastic pool of crap that's floating around out in the ocean, destroying things. It's just disgusting and disheartening. So what can we do? And we've started to map out, a possible company that we're kicking around different ideas. So you can be part of the change. You know, you can take action. We can all make a difference. And we can start by voting the right way. We can start by voting the right way. And I'm going to tell you about one state where there's an opportunity for you to do that in just a moment. But look, Canada is doing it right, folks. Canada has figured out things. Now, they're not perfect. No one's perfect. But Canada is trying these pilot programs. Other countries have taken giant leaps of faith. Portugal, for instance, decided, you know what? I think it was about 13 years ago, Portugal decided drug use no longer illegal. And instead of prosecuting people for drugs, we're going to get them help. Realizing that it's not a criminal behavior, that it's really a mental, it's a mental behavior. It's something that needs help. We need to put people in a special clinic to get them the help that they need. Drug crime, zero in Portugal. That's why you have attorneys general from all over the United States have flown into Lisbon, Portugal, to meet with leaders here to figure out what in the world they're doing. How are they doing it? Just like they're flying into Norway. So they fly into Norway and they get here and, you know, and they're like, how are you guys able to reform your prison system? Then they fly into Estonia. Like, how are you guys doing internet so well? How have you created universal, like, broadband that's faster than the United States? They're flying into genocide-based Rwanda. They get into Rwanda and they get here and they say, didn't you guys just go through a massive genocide like 20 years ago? And now you have some of the most amazing technological advances of any country in the world? Education numbers off the charts? U.S. has a lot to learn. So go to fly to Canada for a little time. Spend some time up there. See how they're doing it, taking care of people. Absolutely disgusting. But we won't. You know why? Canada doesn't have to fuel some massive, massive military and line defense contractors' pockets all the time. They don't have to. They'd rather take care of its people and save some money. Yeah, they pay more in taxes. But where do you think those taxes go? There's a direct correlation. Same is true in Norway. Same is true in Denmark, the happiest country in the world. Why? Well, they pay more in taxes. Yeah, like what, 50% is in taxes? But there's like zero poverty. Wouldn't that be nice? And then you see this story over the weekend about the 50 billionaires in America have more money than 165 million Americans. 50 billion, 50 people. So we have two stories, right? Canada, they took 50 people that were homeless and they gave them $7,500. In the United States, we have 50 billionaires that own more wealth than 165 million Americans. America. America. Sunshine Speaks, she says you're blurry, Clayton. Maybe it's my computer. Am I blurry, Philip? Am I looking good? Oops, did I click off my audio? I do that all the time. What's up? Tell her to refresh. Yeah, refresh. Yeah. Refresh your browser. If you have any, if you ever have an issue like that, just refresh your browser. Not blurry now. Okay, good, good, good. We've got more to get to here. I want to talk about Nancy Dubin. Our government doesn't even listen to themselves, let alone Canada. That's why we need, that's why we need us to change it. That's why we need voters to get out and vote. And we're starting to see the signs of this. Terrell Hamilton says most people just want to live a comfortable life. Given the opportunity, they will do just that. Exactly. That is amazing, Terrell. Am I saying that right? Terrell or Terrell? See, having it being an Eagles fan of Terrell Owens threw me off because I know other people would say Terrell. Terrell. Anyway, you're absolutely right on that. I love that comment. Just given the opportunity, people just want to live a comfortable life, right? They want to be able to come home every day, see their kids, have a nice dinner on the dinner table, have a discussion with their family, not have to worry about their children growing up in a community where there's drug violence and crime, that their kids are going to some school where they're getting such a crappy education because the teachers are scared to teach in a school district because there's so much crime. Drug, you know, kids are worried about getting locked up for 30 years because of a marijuana offense. That's all people want. So when people are like, well, 50% taxes in Denmark. Yeah. I challenge all of you to go watch that 60 Minutes. It was a great piece a few years ago on the happiest country in the world, Denmark. And they interviewed a bunch of college kids. And, you know, because a lot of countries have the problem where the college kids, they want to leave the country after they get their degree, right? Not Denmark. Like, no, we love it here. Why would we leave? Food is great. The people are great. We have great job opportunities. We have healthcare. We make a great wage. We have the ability to start a business, be an entrepreneur. But they know they're taken care of. They have a social safety net that takes care of them. This idea that America, we're too good for this idea of a social safety net. You know what? It hasn't worked. When President Trump in the spring, February, wants to say it's the greatest economy we've ever seen in February of this year, if that's what he's saying, then he's full of crap. Because even in February and January of this year, before the pandemic hit, millions of Americans were left behind. An entire middle class destroyed. And the rich got richer. Farmers in Michigan, in Iowa. Guess what? Farmers, under those tax cuts, under the Trump tax cuts, the rich farmers, like the big corporate farmers, got a lot of money. The little farmer got crushed. That's why Trump's down in Michigan right now, because they saw what he did. So the little guy gets crushed, the big guy gets a lot of money. That's the way it works and in America. Any other questions before we move on? Jose Salinas says, Canadian care for the people, Americans care for corporations and Wall Street. Bingo. Bingo, Jose. Bingo. A little drink of coffee, and we're going to talk about Alaska in a second. And a fascinating story out of Alaska. We've been following it here on the show. The mainstream media is not covering this story. You're not going to hear this at all today on any of the major networks. But you'll hear it here. So thank you, everyone, for supporting independent journalism, supporting this show. If you'd like to become a channel member and support us, you can do it very simply. We have channel memberships. So anyone right now you see in the chat that has a little Grover emoji next to their head or their name is in green, that means they are a channel member. And so for just the price of a cup of coffee per month, you can support independent journalism just by going to morninginvest.com/join right there on your screen. And you can pick the pricing tier that you'd like to be in support. That way we're able to get great guests on the show, have a great team, be able to keep improving the show. We got a whole new lighting system that's about to arrive in the next week or so. So we're going to be doing a whole bunch of new things with lights I'm super excited about. So all of that. Thank you for supporting independent journalism and not the mainstream media. Only three companies own the media, Polo Life says. Yeah, it's true. It's true. And if you saw, like, not a little sidebar tangent here, but if you saw what happened just like a few weeks ago, I think like the Hollywood Reporter and a few other websites that would kind of cover streaming and Hollywood and television related news just got bought up and sucked up under one corporation. So much for independent journalism. You know, when you're watching MSNBC or you're watching these guys over on CNN, you're watching, you know, you're watching Wolf Blitzer.
There is such.
First of all, look at that crap around his screen. How much do we really need all of that stuff around your head? Coronavirus pandemic. First ladies tomorrow at 10 p.m. Look at all that stuff. You know that stuff? It's almost as bad over here.
If you're quiver, you're not ruling anything.
Look at that. These are all corporate media. This is all corporate media. Now, occasionally, the only reason, you know, I'll show a soundbite like this occasionally is because I want to hear the question and get the answer, you know, from somebody who I'm interested in hearing from. But I do not, I tend to ignore and do not cover the stories that they are covering because it feeds a narrative that they're trying to get across to the American people. And I think it's disgusting. Clutter tags, Mark Ryan calls it. Clutter tags. Yeah, look at all that stuff. Right, Grover? Exactly. Let's talk about, you want to talk about some corruption? Let's talk about some corruption, shall we? Let's go up to the state of Alaska. Now, for a lot of you, this might seem, I think for a lot of us, we're disconnected from the corruption process of our politicians. We hear about it, but we might not see a direct line to this corruption. And it actually playing out in American politics where it's actually going to affect me and my family in our backyard. It's going to affect my ability, my family's health, because of what you vote for or choose or whatever corruption might lead to the health and well-being of my family. We know exactly how this happens and unfolds, but we don't really get to see it like in action. And with this Pebble Mine story out of Alaska, we've gotten to see it in like in plain as day. Journalism shining a light right on this. Environmental journalists who pretended to be investors in the mine. I love this. So they get on all these Zoom calls with all of these mine executives. And they pretend that they're going to invest large sums of money into this mine, this big copper mine that was set to be opened in Alaska. Now, I want you to bear in mind something about this project. The EPA came out and said that this thing failed. The EPA would cause large scale destruction to this area in Bristol Bay, in the watershed in Alaska. It would cause large scale economic destruction. 3-year study. It was a peer reviewed study. And it was going to destroy the wild salmon population there, the sockeye salmon population. One of the largest areas that provides sockeye salmon would have been destroyed because of this mine. So these environmental investors, journalists in many ways, did excellent work and managed to get on the phone and Zoom calls with a bunch of these clowns from the Pebble Mine who were raising money. So they were doing all these Zoom calls, and it looks like they were so desperate, they were even taking Zoom calls in their cars. Like, here's Ronald Thiessen, right? He's sitting in the car talking about the mine, telling the investor about the mine, and he's telling the caller, hey, we've got these senators in our pocket in Alaska. We've got Dan Sullivan and Lisa Murkowski. We basically want to keep Dan Sullivan quiet. Here's Dan Sullivan, if you're not familiar. He's Dan Sullivan. And this is the story. He's Alaska's one-term Republican senator. He's fighting right now to recover from this scandal that ties him closely to this mining project. The thing is, though, what's amazing is this guy has had a history of going against the environment in his state. If you think one of the most beautiful states in the country and that where the people have such reverence for the environment, you think of Alaska, don't you? You might think of Montana, Wyoming, etc., but you think of Alaska. That's right what comes to mind. This mine, this Pebble Mine that was supposed to be opened, is opposed by over 2-1, the people of Alaska do not want it. They've said they don't want it. They don't want to have anything to do with it. They're worried about what it'll do to their land and countryside, what it will do to their salmon population, and the health of the families that live near this area. Did Dan Sullivan give a rat's ass about the people of Alaska? No. No. He cared more about the tens of thousands of dollars he got from campaign donations from the mining company. And other businesses, of course. So he's been taking plenty of money from these different corporations. Now, once this was revealed, the story leaked and came out, Tom Collier was the CEO of the Pebble Mine. He resigned after being caught on tape. So he's also on this tape talking about, you know, basically having these politicians in their back pocket, these hidden cameras here. And they weren't even hidden because he's just holding the camera up doing a Zoom call and they're recording him the whole time. So the Pebble Limited Partnership CEO, Tom Collier, and the head of its parent company, Northern Dynasty Minerals, Ronald Thiessen, who you see here, he made clear to fake investors that the company would aim to expand Pebble further than it has already applied to build, which was contradicting written testimony from their CEO. And basically, he's here caught on camera telling these reporters, hey, once we get this mine in place, it's unstoppable. Like, politicians will not be able to stand in our way. We will expand it bigger than what we said we would. So now, Dan Sullivan. He has, think about this mine. He's received tens of thousands of dollars in campaign contributions from lobbyists, executives, and employees involved with this project. And that's according to a recent investigation by journalists. What's interesting is that his challenger, Al Gross, see, here's an opportunity, folks. Now, I'm not an Alaska citizen, so I can't, a resident, so I can't vote there. But now here's Al Gross, who is... He will caucus with the Democrats, but he's not a Democrat. In fact, he is more aligned with, frankly, Green Party on the Democratic side. So he is running as an independent, but he will caucus with Democrats in Alaska. He stands for the environment. He's not bought and sold by these guys, these big corporations. And he's running against this guy, Dan Sullivan. Now they're involved in a neck and neck race. It was seen that Dan was going to walk away with this election, but here you go. In plain view, we have an opportunity to make a change in the state. Now, why this race is so important is that if Dan Sullivan loses, this could tip the entire Senate towards Democrats. Yes, Democrats, I've said it before, this, pardon, one of the same process here, one of the same big party, Democrats and Republicans. However, when you have people like Al Gross, when you have other members, who are running on a Green Party platform or who want to push forward a progressive agenda to help the environment, get universal health care, free public college in place, getting more of these candidates. Look, most of Alaska supports this. They support Al Gross's position on this. Do not build a mine here. We said no. It's amazing to me that you could have a senator who two to one in your state tell you that they do not want this mine. Like, you're in a room of 100 people, right? And by a 2-1 margin, the people raise their hand. They're like, no, we don't want it. Okay, we're going to go ahead and build that mine. We're going to go ahead and build that mine anyway. Did you not? We all just raised our hand, said we didn't. Oh, but we don't have money. We're just little people. It's home to more than 24 federally recognized tribal governments also. 24 tribal governments on this land. It's a mineral-rich area which has the largest sockeye salmon fishery in the world. And the EPA, after a 3-year peer-reviewed study, say that it would be ecologically disastrous to build this mine there. Dan Sullivan takes tens of thousands of dollars from these clowns and wants to push this thing through. And these guys sitting there with hidden cameras saying, we just want to make sure Dan doesn't say anything that jeopardizes the project. We just got to keep him quiet. You know, we've got him. We've got him taken care of. He's in our pocket, basically. This is corruption in action, folks. You know, the sad thing is, in many ways, there might not even be anything illegal about it. This is just American politics. So this big mine, this big lobbying company pays him tens of thousands of dollars for his campaign, buys his silence. He's now representing them, the big corporation, and not you, the people of Alaska. So what do, the people of Alaska? You vote his ass out. That's how you get rid of these people. You know, we heard the swamp was supposed to be drained, right? President Trump, we heard that the swamp was going to be drained. I don't hear him calling out this corruption. But the people of Alaska, you have an opportunity right now. Al Gross has been funding new television and radio ads, and they've been pouring a lot of money into that state. So if you're in Alaska right now, you're probably seeing a lot of ads for Al Gross. Here is one of them. This is a pretty interesting one on pre-existing conditions against Dan Sullivan. Watch this one.
I was diagnosed with breast cancer in the summer of 2014. 12 surgeries in 5 years. Breast cancer doesn't care if you've been sick before, but insurance companies do. And if Dan Sullivan gets his way, he'd let them deny us coverage because of pre-existing conditions. He voted to let them do that. And he's taking their money to fund his campaign. Dan Sullivan's looking out for himself and the insurance industry.
North Stars are signed over the country.
So there you go. Taking money from the insurance industry, mining companies. Yeah, these guys are good people. So we were talking in the chat earlier. It's like, how do you make a change? This is how you make a change. You throw these bums out. You get people in there who are not bought and sold by corporations. That's the only way we're going to do it. And we all have an opportunity at the grassroots to do this in our cities, in our state and local governments. And frankly, the only reason we're even learning about this story is because of these journalists. That's why the support for independent journalism. You know, this was journalism done independently. So I'm so proud of, you know, I think this is the new frontier. Instead of getting your journalism, because you're not going to see them covering this. When this story broke, I mean, they hardly even covered this thing. When this story broke on the mainstream media, they didn't really cover much at all. You know, when these secret tapes came out, not much coverage. You have a sitting senator, basically, you know, I think the Washington Post was covering it a little bit. Very little coverage in the mainstream media. Very, very little coverage. You know why? Because the mainstream media, these big companies are all bought and sold by the same types of money. Big energy, big oil, big gas, big mining companies, pumping millions of dollars in ads to these big networks. I mean, I don't know how many times I've been on the New York Times website and I see a big ad for BP. I remember after the BP oil disaster. I mean, I remember that. They had like a full page takeover ad, I think BP did, on the New York Times website. Well, they'll take you. They're going to cover it objectively. Taking millions of dollars in ad money from these guys. They're going to cover it objectively. So thank you so much for supporting independent journalism. When you subscribe to our channel, you support our channel. I see so many of you who watch our channel, but you're not yet a subscriber. YouTube tells me this data. They say 70% of you have just had one of our videos suggested to you. So if real news for real people matters to you, please subscribe to our channel. Subscribe. It really, really means something to us. And also, you can become a channel member too. If you want to take things to the next level, like so many of you, I love all of our channel members. Just go to morninginvest.com/join. And just for the price of a cup of coffee once a month, you can support our channel here, covering the stories that I think matter to you, not Wall Street. The real business stories that matter to you, not Wall Street. So if you do like videos like these, please thank you for your continued support. Really appreciate that. Allison Morgan, you're very kind. Anna Lee is here. Patricia Decker is here. Brittany Foley is here. Terrell Hamilton, thank you so much. Sandra Mason, thank you, James. I have one more story I want to tell you about this morning. This was amazing. You know how President Trump doesn't like to apologize, right? He never likes to say he's sorry. He never likes to take blame for anything. Have you ever, I'm just going to ask you, if you can tell me in the chat, objectively, I'm asking this totally sincerely, has President Trump ever apologized for anything? Or taken, apologize for anything. Has President Trump apologized for anything? Saw some comments here coming through. Sorry about that. I figured a way to keep this audio button on, Philip, because I keep turning it off. All right. So, just asking: has President Trump ever apologized for anything, or when something's gone terribly wrong, taken the blame for it? And said, you know, my bad. Like JFK style after the Bay of Pigs invasion. Like, say, that was on me. That was my mistake. Do you know his poll numbers went up after the Bay of Pigs disaster because he went out and he was conciliatory? He went to the podium. He's like, I screwed up. And his poll, you know, favorability ratings actually went up because people are like, you know what? People kind of like when you apologize. You kind of take like, okay, I didn't do it well enough. Maybe I should apologize here and I'm going to do it better next time. Enter Kim Jong-un. Yes. The North Korean dictator and President Trump's friend. You know, they send each other love letters. You do know that, right? Yes. Kim Jong-un actually calls them love letters. And they've written, I think, 17 or more letters to each other. They're featured pretty prominently in Bob Woodward's book. And President Trump speaks about him. He considers him like a contemporary and a friend. So Kim Jong-un, the North Korean dictator, had one of the big military processionals this week where they rolled out this massive new missile, which is basically the whole idea behind this missile is to completely overwhelm the United States. So he comes out at the podium and he apologizes for his failure on coronavirus. Are you hearing me? I feel like swearing. This guy comes out and apologizes to North Korea over his administration's failure to provide security over COVID-19. Yeah. I'm not making this up. At first I was like, this has got to be a fake article. Then I confirmed it on multiple sources. Here's what he said. Our people have placed trust as high as the sky and as deep as the sea in me, but I have failed to always live up to it satisfactorily. I love the, it's like poetic, isn't it? He said, according to a translation of his comments in the Korea Times, I am really sorry for that. Yeah. Kim Jong-un brought tissues out and had to wipe tears away from his eyes. They're saying it's because of, you know, indication of mounting pressure right now for his regime on coronavirus, also his country's safety. There's some real cracks and fissures in this country. You see a lot of pressure. So he comes out and apologizes. I just couldn't believe here is a dictator, one of the most feared men in the world, who can come out and admit that his administration, you know, sucked when it came to coronavirus response. Couldn't pull it off. Did a pretty bad job of contact tracing and helping their people. Which, by the way, how is coronavirus even getting into North Korea? It's not exactly a fluid, like a border that's like fluid and open. And just, I'm going to North Korea this afternoon. I'm going to drive up to North Korea, take in a few sites. I'll be back a little bit later. Going up to Pyongyang. Yeah, there's a great pho place up there. I love going to get some pho. Really? They serve Vietnamese food in, yeah, it's great. Just going to go across the border. So you got to go through a little bit through the demilitarized zone. You got to deal with that. Takes about 5 hours to get your paperwork cleared, but hey, just bring a Kindle, read that for a while. But Kim Jong-un is crying and wiping tears away, saying that he's sorry, people of North Korea. We screwed up. We couldn't keep you safe. I'm sorry. I just couldn't believe it. You would never see that from President Trump. And by the way, the United States is far worse than North Korea for their coronavirus response. Not even in the same ballpark. Over the weekend, we set a new record in the United States for coronavirus cases. And in the past 48 hours, well, within one day, we saw 58,000 new cases, a new record. 58,000 new cases. And like 1,600 deaths in one day in the United States. North Korea is nowhere near those numbers. And he's up there crying with tissues, a dictator. And then he gets to show off a giant missile that would destroy the United States. But President Trump wants to talk all about himself. And in fact, I love this story that he was coming out of the hospital and he, as he was being released to the hospital, asked someone to get him a Superman t-shirt so that he could undo his shirt and show off the Superman logo as he was coming out of the hospital. That's how President Trump thinks. All about himself. All about himself. You don't believe, Bonnie Livingston says, I don't believe that, so many lies. You don't believe what, the Superman shirt thing? Or Kim Jong-un? He did it on national television. Like, we have the video of him doing it. If this is what you're questioning, Kim Jong-un shedding tears and apologizing to the North Korean people. But I love this statement about how his coronavirus response. Our people have placed trust as high as the sky and as deep as the sea in me. But I have failed to always live up to it satisfactorily. 2 if by sea, 3 if by land. Go, dog, go. Sam, I am. Yeah, President. So that's the very latest. I want to bring up some breaking news that we're just getting now. And you know, here's President Trump just tweeting moments ago, our country cannot survive as a socialist nation. And that's what the Democrats want it to be. No, they don't. Democrats will not change anything. And by the way, what's so bad about socialized medicine? What's bad about some sort of universal basic income? I've already talked to you about Denmark. I've already talked to you about Norway. I already talked to you about Canada. This fear-mongering. But is our system really working for us right now? With 55 million people struggling, 30 million of them unemployed? I see the comments from you. Would you be open to having your health care taken care of by the government? Taking money instead of going into foreign wars and going into the Middle East and just building a new base now in Syria, which is what they're planning to do. Trillions of dollars spent on warheads and tanks that we don't need. How about school in the United States? Just an idea. A safety net to make sure that the people who are at our most challenged in our society are taken care of. It's interesting that you want to talk about socialism and you talk about, you know, Republicans hate Social Security, but they know they can never touch it. Because you know why? 70% of Americans like it. It's amazing how that works. So Trump's tweeting just a few moments ago, the USA will never become a large-scale version of Venezuela. All control is already being taken away from Sleepy Joe. This is your president. So here's the latest on the stimulus from President Trump just moments ago. He says the Republicans are giving the Democrats a great deal of time, which is not mandated, to make their self-serving statements relative to our great new future Supreme Court justice. Personally, I would pull back, approve, and just go for stimulus for the people. Ah, I see what he's doing. So instead of wasting time approving Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court on the Democrat side, just push her through real fast, and then let's get back to stimulus talks. Okay. Can you tell that to Mitch McConnell? Can you tell that to Mitch McConnell about a stimulus? Because he doesn't want to pass anything. You can keep pushing Democrats all you want, Mr. President. But until you actually get Mitch McConnell and the Republican Senate caucus on board, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Well, there's your show today, folks. I hope you had a great day. I hope you have a great morning now that we've kicked off the news this morning. Thank you guys so much for supporting the show. Thank you so much for subscribing. Don't forget to check out, if you want a 6% interest savings account, we'll have a link to it below. You can get it by going to morninginvest.com/outlet. You can save 6% on every dollar that you save. You can deposit and withdraw at any time. They have insurance that covers your deposit. It's backed by cryptocurrency, so it's not backed by this corrupt government banking system in Wall Street. It's actually backed by cryptocurrency, the people's currency, Ethereum. So all you need to do to get that free money, because they'll deposit free money into your account just for opening your account, and you can open it with as little money as you like. Just go to morninginvest.com/outlet. That's the only way that you can get that free money. You have to use that link. That way they know you came from our show and they're a big supporter of our show. I use them every day. That's my savings account of choice. And they're getting ready, folks, to roll out cards too. Like actual cards, like debit cards. You know, you can just go to the bank, pay for it, ATM, the whole thing. So they're working on that. It's coming soon. Exciting stuff. So thanks, everyone. I really appreciate you joining us today on the show. Thank you so much for sharing this show with anyone you think would benefit from knowing the stories that they will not cover on the mainstream media. We'll be back here later. If there's any additional stimulus news beyond the president tweeting from the toilet, we'll bring it to you. How many of you have voted so far? How many of you have registered to vote? Please, please, please. Vote.org is how you can do it. Vote.org is how you can do it. Much love to all of you guys. Again, we'll see you back here tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Eastern. We do this show every day, Monday through Friday. So thanks for supporting independent journalism. Much love to all of you.
Out. Good morning. Sunday morning.